time for Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires. It's live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave.
Love myself a good march. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart here with Dave Bourne, and we are your local noontime show to talk about local issues, individuals, ideas, initiatives, institutions. Welcome. It's nice to have you. How are you doing, Dave?
I am doing well. How about you?
Excellent.
It's Thursday.
It is Thursday. So fast.
I know.
We are expecting Commissioner Craig Pope today from Polk County. Sometimes Polk County doesn't get enough attention.
No,
honestly.
Definitely not.
Great county out there, Dallas, Independence, Monmouth, the university, all of West Salem.
Right.
So it'll be great to have Craig on. Unfortunately, the commissioner is called away on the people's business. It's going to make him a little bit late today. But we hope to have him on by the bottom of the hour.
Fingers
come in
crossed.
Fingers crossed. Otherwise, we'll just have to talk about him, and he won't have anything to say. And he's a very interesting guy, Craig Pope. Born and raised Mid-Valley, Corvallis. His family was a grass seed farmer. He founded a manufacturing business. I think he's on every committee and subcommittee known to the county. He's a busy guy.
The same ones you're on?
One of those guys that always has to be someplace. So I understand he had to go do some people's business today. So we'll talk about something happy happened in Salem here, and we'll talk about something distressing happening in Salem here, and hopefully by then we'll be talking to the commissioner. So, Happy, do you ice skate?
I've tried.
He's tried to ice skate.
Yeah, I can't do it. I can roller skate. I can't rollerblade or ice skate. Don't ask me why.
Why?
I don't know.
Don't ask you that.
Yeah.
All right. So we can ice skate in Salem. And that is great.
Cool.
It's been going on the last few years. I think they started in 2017. Salem on Ice at Riverview Park, Riverfront Park.
All right.
And it's bigger and better than ever. So there's a rink down there, and you can book blocks of time for parties.
Nice.
I like this. Salem on Ice will feature multiple 90-day minute skate sessions.
That's good.
With a full bar, designated party area, a live DJ on the weekends, and 250 new pairs of skates.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Because nothing, you know, helps a good ice skating session more than alcohol, right?
Well, I think that's more for the parents.
All right. So
to stay warm.
I was born in Iowa, and I was one of those kids that grew up with no fences and go to the backyard and play, and when it's dark, we'll expect you back.
Right.
So that was kind of my growing up. But we learned to ice skate. We could ice skate on Duck Pond. And there was red, yellow, green lights. And when you could go on and when it was, you know, weren't going to follow through. And
they actually had lights on there to tell you when you could go
like
on?
Yeah, a street line. It was yellow.
What?
It was kind of dangerous. It was yellow. But if it was green, then you knew the ice was thick enough that you could do it without plummeting.
How did they do that?
I don't know.
I've never seen that.
It's been part of the Public Works Department.
I've never even heard of that.
So anyway, I could ice skate. I could ice skate. Then I met my wife in Los Angeles years ago. And she likes to lord it over me because she can skate backwards and I can't skate backwards. We just had this discussion because, you know, from Salem on Ice.
Right.
I was coming and I had forgotten that she skated at rinks in Los Angeles and she can skate backwards and I can't skate backwards. It's embarrassing, but it's very fun. It's very fun.
Makes it work out when you are skating.
Yes,
she skates backwards.
I only want to go forwards anyway.
Right, and you just go forward.
So, people have a chance to go down to Riverfront Park. It should be great. It should be great fun. I think they start at 11:30 in the morning, especially with school breaking out pretty soon. I need even the college kids. I think the state schools break out for finals next week. Hopefully, they'll see a lot of people. 34,000 people. It's the first time they did this.
When was that?
No, 2017.
Wow. Okay. It was such a big hit last year. They increased the shoes by 250
new pairs of skates.
Yeah.
I don't know if those must just be the rentals that they have. And
well, they're expecting bigger crowds, obviously.
So, yeah. Anyway, Salem on Ice, check it out. Go down there, spend some money, ride the carousel, visit our capital city's beautiful riverfront park. Also, in case you feel like romantic, I guess they've had 4 proposals at the ice rink.
But that would be the place to do it.
That is pretty fun. It's already open. It's been open since November 17th. So, and it's going to go well into the new year. I think third week in January.
Is it out in the open or is it under the pavilion?
There's a tent. It's right there in the middle of Riverview Park. And there's a carousel. And just north of the carousel is a large enclosed tent.
Huh.
Yeah. So even if it's raining, you can go in there. They've made some improvements. They had some issues with rainwater.
I'm sure.
In the past. Yeah. So
it all freezes, though.
You know, if you're listening and you went before on a rainy day and they had some infiltration, well, they did some French drains around that to help with the drainage and made some improvements and getting better every year.
That's impressive.
Let's push that to 34,000 to 50,000 and make sure that this is a viable thing that we can have in the community every single year.
And summertime, they should open it up as a skating rink, roller skating rink.
Roller skating. So you're the roller skater.
Yeah, I have a pair. And I like to roller skate, but around the area, they've been closing the roller skating rinks.
And we used to have one in an area which is now a Kia motorship.
Yeah.
Motor dealership.
And even in the farther north in Portland, a couple of skating rinks have closed down already.
All right. Well, I don't have the website, but I'm sure people, if they search for Salem on Ice, they can figure it out. They can do birthday parties and all that. You can do family parties. It might not be a bad idea for some humor, as long as you have some workers' comp to do your office party there.
Workers' comp.
Yeah. you're at the office party and you break an ankle. So, and don't worry, your ankles will seize the first time you try it. And they're like, what the heck is going on? But power through it. And it's a blast. You may not want to try any triple Lutzes or anything right away. Anyway, you get a designated skate session, so it would just be your group.
Right.
So 2.5 hours long and have a party and have some cocktails and make sure if it is a work party that you are well insured and have workers comp. How's that sound?
Is that why they've been cutting back on office parties, things like that? Have you heard that this year?
Some
of them is because of the electrically charged atmosphere politically around.
Right.
And they're totally avoiding the area.
Well, as you know, I've been an employer since 2001. I'm sorry, 1991. So I've been an employer for 20 years.
Yeah.
And it got from, sexual harassment to now it's really broad based and it's very much recommended that if you're an employer, you have employment practices insurance. Right. Employment practices.
Probably costly.
Because it costs the insurance isn't too bad, honestly. And I encourage all employers to go get it. Because if you don't hire somebody who's in a protected class, you can get sued, even if you did everything right. There's still very much a risk of an extraordinary cost in defending yourself.
Sure.
So employment practices insurance has to do with, illegal firing, illegal hiring, discrimination. Maybe a sexual harassment or a hostile workplace environment.
Wow.
So, I don't even sell this insurance, but I'm sure the insurance agents who are listening are very happy that their product's being plugged.
I probably should have had that yesterday with you, a little hostile environment.
I was feeling a little testy, wasn't
I? There was smoke coming out of those ears.
Not as bad as after Monday night's city council meeting.
Tuesday was, that was testy for you.
So
SalemOnIce.com, by the way, is the website.
Go down and enjoy Riverfront Park. Yeah. It is the holidays. And while you're at it, go drop some money downtown, because we talked about this as well this week. Go drop some money in downtown and support the locally owned businesses and even the malls.
Yeah, my wife and I like to come. We like to roam around downtown, actually. Check out all the little stores and have lunch and things like that in downtown, mainly because parking was free.
Yes.
It's always a bonus.
Parking. Parking. I grew up I was in a number of different places, but it was just one of the things you did is you had quarters in your ashtray.
Yes.
Right? You had buy all quarters in your ashtray and you had to feed the meter. In downtown Salem, you don't have to feed the meter.
At least right now you don't.
And there are a few block spaces in which you have to, and they have the smart meter now.
Yeah.
I've grown up and I was willing to stick my debit card in there. And it's kind of nice to know that, You can just protect yourself with your smart, because now I don't have a quarter so much anymore. But anyway, and the free downtown parking garages.
Yeah, those are nice.
So, hey, Polk County, we're going to have your commissioner on. Come on down to Salem. We talked about this. This came up is that people in Dallas, because of the traffic, because of the bridge choking situation, that they're choosing to maybe go to McMinnville to shop or to Corvallis to shop rather than come over the Marion and Polk, Marion and Center Street bridges.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
That is a problem. Well,
hey, Polk County, come on down. Not just West Salem. I don't want to exclude them. West Salem, Polk County, and the rest of Polk County. Come down to Salem and ice skate. We'll go out and see your water park in the summertime. You come ice skate in the winter. How about that? Yeah. You're listening to Newsmakers on KYKN, 1430. Salem's listening.
And the commissioner is on next.
Craig Park.
He's next.
Newsmakers continues with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Made a few mistakes, just a couple,
like every segment.
welcome back
to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart here with Dave Bourne, and we welcome in our studio Polk County Commissioner Craig Pope. I like Craig. We don't hang or anything, but I have a feeling we're going to get to know each other better and be good Polk County friends. I now live in Polk County, and that is a change after living in Marion County for over 25 years. So I get to vote for him.
Nice.
So welcome, Craig.
Thank you so much, and I am looking forward to that, hanging out some more.
Okay. I was talking about you, and I was doing a little research on you, and you got called away to some meeting, blah, 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 and followed by another meeting and so forth. You are one busy fellow.
Thank you.
You're one of those people that is probably an unstoppable force of nature, right?
Well, I'm probably responding to age as time goes along and trying to find opportunity to say no more, but it's hard to say no. There is so much to do. I will tell you that folks don't generally understand or know what a county commissioner does in a county of 82,000 population, but it is a full-time job for three county commissioners, and it's a lot more than just meeting and discussing budgets, although those are primary responsibilities. But, you know, one of the things that we have to be very mindful of is there is a lot of function that we need to be engaged in that connects to our people directly, and so there's a lot of different meetings and committees and so forth that we have to be a part of. And today's interruption for me was a grant review committee to look at funding for Salem Municipal Airport, and I'm sorry, but that had to take a priority today and bump into my timeline.
I think he forgives you for that. Yeah. That's totally right.
I thought
up
you
his
would
only if you voted yes.
Yeah. Oh yes. Well, I am the review agent, so I am the one for the region that submits all the materials for these grants. So it's a very important job.
I'm going to be nice to you today.
Yeah.
I'm paying on the Salem Airport, of course. So, and I want to talk about the county commissioner role for a minute. I actually filed to run for Marion County Commissioner, and this was 2003. And I was challenging an existing incumbent and da-da-da. And then I got an education and about the county government and how it differs from a state government, a municipal government, and the federal government. And there's certain roles that are reserved for counties that only counties do, one of them being elections.
That's correct.
Right? And people, I mean, you know, we hear about an election day and, you know, which precincts are reporting, which counties are reporting, but only counties administer elections.
Across
states,
the nation.
Across the nation, right? Only county officers transport prisoners, right?
Yes.
There's a whole, I mean, of course, obviously they maintain the jail. It has a lot to do with public safety.
Yes.
So things having to do, I mean, it's very important.
And in our region, I will tell you, and this is a place where I'm deeply connected, is behavioral health services, mental health services. That is one of our primary functions. So as an agent of the state, counties are specifically responsible for delivering those services and making the connections generally as a county mental health organization. So,
all right, I want to thank you for that. Mm-hmm. If you had not made it for the segment, we were going to talk about suicide prevention.
Oh, awesome.
So
that's a great new piece in the news
tragic.
Today. Thank you, Statesman.
Okay, I'll pick that up, Statesman Journal. And, you know, we've lost some kids at Sprague High School. It's where my kids went.
Yes.
And there's mental health issues in my family, my extended family. My son has a lot of residual. Sorry for exposing you out here, but I think most people know that my son has a lot of residual effects from having a lot of chemotherapy in his life.
Oh.
And so he battled cancer bravely twice and beat it, and he's now an adult. And but, you know, that's a lot of poison to get, and it does affect your brain chemistry.
Yep.
And mental health is real. And so thank you for the role that you play in mental health in our communities. And we know it overlaps with the homeless.
Yes.
It's not just a matter of...
It's a very deep, complex challenge for all of us to deal with. And the suicide prevention pieces that I'm very fond of and very connected to is a passion for me as well. But it is a big project, and we can't ever let up. We have to keep working on it every single hour.
Yeah. And it intersects, and I was about to go to public safety, because you have a lot of involvement in public safety. Volunteer police, right? Volunteer firefighter.
Yes, both. Yeah.
Both.
Yeah. So I went through a sheriff's academy in the very early 80s and graduated as the president of the academy, top of my class, master marksman, to be a reserve deputy in Polk County. Mm-hmm. Politics made it where I couldn't serve in that regard, and got picked up by Philomath City Police Department and served a couple of years there. As a reserve officer, and finally had to stop doing it because they liked me so much that they kept piling shifts on me, and my regular day job was becoming jeopardized by that. So, but that was my stint in law enforcement, and still carry my DPS ST card.
Nice.
For that. And but yeah, I spent 27 years as a volunteer firefighter, 8 of those as an officer for Polk County Fire District Number 1. And my last 4 years in fire service was serving as a board member, 2 of those as chairman of the board for that fire district.
Wow. So I, as our listeners know, I'm big on public safety as the number one priority of government. And I know that Polk County has had issues and had some troubles in years past, even funding public safety. So could you touch on that, and like, what is the size of our force now in terms of the sheriff's department, and from which low have we climbed out of?
Well, I can't be specific with regard to the number of personnel, because I don't have that in front of me, and I'm not prepared to answer that specifically. But I can tell you, for example, yesterday we had a public hearing in the morning and at 7 o'clock last night to discuss and deliberate over our next round of a public safety levy that we would put on the ballot. And the discussion was about whether we would put a levy back on the ballot in May of 2019, which would be a year early. We have a levy working right now that would mature in 2020. But we've decided that we made the decision actually last night after the hearing that we will go out in May of 2019 to renew a new 5-year public safety levy, which will continue to maintain our patrols at full 24-hour service, and brings our staffing level to a place where our sheriff, Mark Garden, feels that it is absolutely adequate. It will improve on our detective levels a little bit. It'll improve some staffing at detective, so to work on crimes investigation. We'll maintain our what we call our point team, our interagency narcotics team, which has been very successful in Polk County.
Interagency, so you're working with the state police and...
Correct. And, well, our cities inside the county and the state police.
Okay. Wow. Well, so I seem to recall that there was a time where you couldn't even have sheriffs on patrol 24 hours a day, right?
Right. We were down in 2013, well, up to 2015, we were down to a low of 10 hours a day of patrol. We were not able to. We had a tremendous backlog of crime investigation because we didn't have enough investigative staff to be able to pursue all of the calls that we needed to pursue. Our jail staffing was in jeopardy, and our prosecution system was in jeopardy because we also needed to fund more prosecution attorneys.
All right, so this is related to being ONC County, is it correct?
Correct.
So that's Oregon and California, if you're unfamiliar. And there are other ONC counties, including in Southern Oregon, you know, Josephine, Jackson,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And the funds that the federal government no longer wants to reimburse the formerly timber counties for not cutting down the trees. Am I getting that right?
That's in a nutshell.
Kind of in a nutshell. All right. So the federal government doesn't want us to cut down the natural resource and replant them. And so there's no revenue, and the revenue is being replaced and backfilled by the federal government. And now they're trying to drive that up, or they have dried that up.
They have.
And the levy, let's clarify this. So a levy is something the voters get to vote on and decide whether or not they're going to be taxed. That would last for a period of time, in this case, 5 years.
Correct.
As opposed to a bond measure, which is typically used to build an asset. A bond measure is, hey, we will pay more in property tax so that the county or the city can go in debt and build something similar to what the city of Salem did with the police facility.
Correct.
So they passed a bond measure, and they can issue bonds, and they go into debt, and they're paid off by the increased property taxes. And eventually, that goes away. But the levy can only go 5 years, right?
Correct.
So that means every 5 years, Polk County has to decide, do we want to have this level of public service? And also, are you being good stewards of our money?
Yes.
And that's a big thing for the voters is, you know, I think they're more willing to give you the money if they feel you're being good stewards. How do you get that communication out?
Well, I think one of the things that is important for us to exemplify through through any of our campaigns is that, first of all, I believe this is the new normal for Polk County in our tax collection process. We're, because of Measures 5 and 50, we are in a lock at $1.71 a thousand for county general fund. So that's not going to change. Constitutionally, it can't change. So the only way that we can improve our base of revenue for the general fund, which is what funds public service, our public safety system, is that we have to have an alternate form of taxation. So if we were getting the O&C dollars that we would expect under our current level of production, we're not cutting those trees. But if we were getting what we should be getting, that would represent at least $2.5 million a year.
All right. We're talking to Commissioner Craig Pope from Polk County. I have to make sure not to flip those. Craig Polk from Polk County.
It's easy to do.
Here on Newsmakers and KYKN. We'll be back and talk more with the commissioner right after these words. This is KYKN 1430. Salem is listening.
This is Newsmakers with Brent and Dave on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Hello and welcome back to Newsmakers. This is Brent D. Hart. I'm here with Dave Bourne and County Commissioner from Polk County, Craig Pope. And we're talking about the election. Craig is recently reelected, elected now for the third time.
That's correct.
And all the West Salemites, you represent them.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so this is a nonpartisan three-commissioner panel, right? Similar to Marion County in that regard, three commissioners that represent the county. But in Marion County, they are partisan seats. They run as a Republican or a Democrat. And in Polk County, it's nonpartisan.
That is correct.
Okay. So tell us about your other two commissioners. And we're going to talk about the election. And you had challengers this last spring. But tell us about the other two commissioners and what your changing of a guard.
Okay. So Commissioner Mike Ainsworth also won a third term reelection in May. And so we both got that done in May and didn't have to go on to the November general election because we both won more than 50%. And Commissioner Jennifer Wheeler is going to step down, and she's going to retire at the end of this year due to some PERS complications. So she's earned her right to have PERS contributions that could be in jeopardy, some of it, if she continues to go on. And she's had some other life goals that have really made her more aware that, you know, she probably should take advantage of those things rather than serving out the remainder of a term. So that leaves Commissioner Ainsworth and I in a place where we need to appoint a replacement commissioner, a new person for that seat to finish out the two-year term. And then at the end of that two-year period, of course, that person or anyone, it's an open seat, that'll be open to election.
And you've done interviews already.
And so, yeah, we had a process that closed November 2nd for, it was from October 1st through November 2nd for picking up applications. And so we had 25 people apply for that seat. And between Commissioner Ainsworth and I, we each submitted a list of names from those 25 applicants that we thought would be best suited to come down to. Hopefully we would have four or five that would overlap between the two of us for finalists. We ended up with five, and we interviewed those five people yesterday in an open session. It's a very challenging job Wow. interview process in front Wow. of an audience.
Yes. I'm going to interview you, and be careful. You always have to be careful what you say.
Yes.
Hence the employment practices insurance we were talking about Sure. in the first segment, right?
It comes into play.
And then what answers you're going to get in front of a live audience in public, right?
Right.
Ooh. Oh, my goodness.
So
no pressure there.
The questions were scripted, of course, and they had an opportunity to see those in front of them so they could think them through, and it was a rotating panel list of questions. But there were no shocking surprises by any of the answers, and all five did a great job. They were all very qualified folks. And so next week, Wednesday at 9 a.m. in our open board meeting, Commissioner Ainsworth and I have to deliberate over mm-hmm. that and choose one. So that is going to be a very difficult job. As I explained to the finalists yesterday, I know this part's been very hard, and I appreciate your courage and your strength to come here and do this job. Just keep in mind what the two of us as commissioners have to do now in front of a live audience.
Mm-hmm. And he's talking about you.
People are not going to be happy. There's okay. no question.
So went this appointment process, and actually we recently elected Representative Denise Bowles mm-hmm. for the first time. She served twice in the Oregon legislature as appointed. And the first time she had decided she was going to fulfill the rest of the term. And this time she wanted to fulfill the rest of the term and get elected. And she did. And so welcome, Denise, to the Oregon legislature.
Yes, welcome,
good
Denise.
Good luck to the Republican contingent. So was it a question or was it a factor if this person wanted to just serve the two-year interim or if they felt like they were going to continue?
Oh, I'm sorry. You're asking, was it a condition?
Yes. No. Was it a consideration, was it part of the discussion at all?
Well, it was part of the discussion among us for the application criterion, but we chose that it wasn't a criterion that had to be met. And some of our applicants did say they did not want to go on beyond the 2 years. And a number of them said, yes, they would be absolutely willing to take on the challenge of an election once they've served. And a few of them said, I'll have to wait and see because I really don't know the job that well yet. Mm. So I need to see how tough it might be.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about Commissioner. I know that you're on a lot of boards and commissions. You were responsible. Ag Expo, you did founded that years and years ago. But SEDCOR, I know the SEDCOR Economic Development Corporation for the three counties. You serve on that board of directors. So you're involved, obviously you're involved in aviation, the ONC counties, Oregon Association of Counties, Association of Oregon Counties.
Association of Oregon AOC. Counties. And you just finished being the president there.
Okay, so you're done with that. It wasn't that long ago.
I am now the immediate past president.
Okay.
Thank you, Jesus.
But a commissioner doesn't really punch a time clock, do they?
Nope.
So they could be as lazy as they want, or they could be as hardworking as you.
Yes, that is a correct statement.
So ultimately, the voters will decide 2 years ago whether they think this person, the new person, is doing a good job.
Yes.
How well-informed do you think the populace is about their county commissioners, and how do they judge whether or not they're doing a good job?
Well, sadly, I have to say, and this is a little bit cynical, but I think it's they're judged based on how good of a campaign you have, and how well you market yourself. And that's been my experience. It's up to me when I'm running in a campaign, to make certain that I'm marketing what I do. And you have to be straightforward, and you definitely need to have the merits of success behind you. I mean, you can't lie about it. You've got to have done the work because it's easy to find. But, you know, we don't get to rely on the local press to tell our story day to day. That's our job. So it's all about the campaign, honestly.
Okay. Well, you've been in the area a long time, and obviously we've demonstrated you've been active. You're also a family man. You've been married a couple of days now.
I have.
A couple of days, 1983.
When did you have time to do that?
Yeah.
Dina must be a saint.
She is. She is my most favorite human being on the planet.
Well, as well should be. Yeah, yes. You better say that. Dina, are you listening?
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
You've been hanging around 1983. That is a long-lasting legacy. And these day and age, and have a marriage last that long, congratulations to you.
Thank you.
You guys have kids as well?
Yes, we do. We have four kids. I have one from a previous marriage, and she and I have three. We share three together. And all four of our kids are great people with great families and children of their own. We have seven grandkids now, and they really keep us hopping. I thought just having four kids was over time and a half, but these seven grandkids, they can really keep you hopping.
Well, I hope you're listening to Craig Pope and get to know him a little bit better. I noticed you've got a beaver pin on. You got any beavers in the family? Is that your where your allegiances lie?
Yes, it is.
So I've got a
sorry ducks, but yeah. We have a lot of money there, and Miss Dina does work on campus as well, so we do have to have a bit of an allegiance to the
just
Oregon
a little
State
bit.
Beavers.
Yeah,
and Polk County is very agricultural in nature.
Yes, it is.
And so the
ag and forestry.
Yeah, ag and forestry. What forestry you can do, mm-hmm. right? And yeah. I know that the Oregon State Extension is very involved in the agricultural counties.
Yes,
right? Including the Master Gardener program is a part of the extension of Oregon State out there. So so go Beavs. Had to plug that in.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah,
I've got a son at Oregon State. Gonna graduate in June.
Well, see, so you're invested. And that's part of the issue. So, you know, Dina and I have been investing dollars there since we were in school. So you kind of have to root for the team that you're paying money into.
Yeah, that's true.
You told us something at the break. I want to come to light, and you see, because you're walking door to door, you're in the campaign. In the spring, there were two challengers, right?
Correct.
And you're walking door to door in West Salem, saying, "Hey, I'm your county commissioner. I would like to vote for re-election." And tell us about that.
So
a surprise.
So the challenge that I have experienced, not just in this past election, but in prior elections, is how few people really understand what a county commissioner does, or even who their county commissioners are. And I don't think that's unique. I think that's a problem across our nation. But I think that's a problem that I want to solve, and it's my responsibility to solve it. But we're just not very well known. And so my experience in West Salem, for example, for a lot of folks has been they've said, "Well, I don't know why you're knocking on my door, because I'm City of Salem." And so, you know, I have to help people understand, well, yes, you are City of Salem generally, but you're also in Polk County, and we're the ones who send you the tax bill. I'm sorry.
That's right.
That's what we do.
Bill,
and that is one of the county's, all counties' primary goals as well, or primary jobs as well, is they are the tax collecting entity that distributes the taxes for all of the entities within the county.
So we're adding to that list of what your county is doing for you. And you're from West Salem, you're in Polk County. If you're not in West Salem, but you're in Salem, you're in Marion County. It's one of very few cities, much less capital cities. I can't imagine there's any others that span two counties. I do a lot of in my day job. I do a lot of legal forms, and we always have to mark what county this form was signed in. Mm-hmm. And I have to pay attention if we're sitting in West Salem, or if we're on this side of the river, in terms of what county we legally made this contract take effect. So now we're adding to the list. You know, elections, we talked about, sending tax bills. So the school district,
yes,
their money comes on your county tax bill.
That's correct.
Your city taxes, your water and soil conservation district, if there's one.
Every taxing entity,
yeah,
every tax service district.
Only counties do all this. Only counties have jails, right?
Yes.
It's the counties that...
Well, there are municipal jails, of course. There are those options for municipalities to have jails, and there are some in the state of Oregon. But generally, counties have that responsibility in connection with circuit courts.
Because prisoner transfer is reserved to the counties. Anything else? What am I missing on the list?
Oh,
I mean, you've got to pay attention to who your county commissioners are and what their sensibilities are. Mm-hmm. And I threw one under the bus earlier this week. So you got to pay attention to who your county clerk is.
Yeah,
that's
what kind of job your county clerk is doing. And then just don't wake up every 4 years when the right or wrong person is elected president and trust that your county clerk is doing a great job.
Mm-hmm.
So these county positions are critical. We're going to have Sam Brentano on, Marion County Commissioner, next week, I believe. And we're going to talk a lot about solid waste and what are we doing with our waste, and what is the situation in Polk County
I'll hold my comment for what we're going to do in Polk County until Sam's had a chance to take to say his piece. He's doing a lot to train me on what this really means. So our solid waste generally goes to Coffin Butte, and of course West Salem is different, but the rest of the county goes to Coffin Butte, and Sam and I have been having conversations about what that reality looks like for the not too distant future. That landfill will fill up, and there are controls for who gets in that landfill that Polk County commissioners aren't a part of. And so it's there is a reality that we will have to face eventually about where our solid waste disposal is going to go to from Polk County.
So Coffin Butte, that is off of, it's just west of 99?
Correct.
On your way to Corvallis. Is it in Polk County?
No, it's in Benton County.
Not even in the county. All right. Yeah. Very interesting. We're going to talk a little bit more with Polk County Commissioner Craig Pope. Thank you for being here, by the way.
Oh,
this
I'm
has
delighted.
Been really interesting. So stick with us. This is Brent DeHart along with Dave Bourne on Newsmakers, 1430 KYKN, Salem's Listening.
Newsmakers continues with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome back, folks, to Newsmakers. This is your Monday through Friday noontime show to talk about local topics that affect you in the Willamette Valley here on KYKN. I'm Brent DeHart along with Dave Bourne. Dave must be about the same age as I because he keeps playing music that makes him smile.
I love it.
Was that Huey Lewis?
Yes, it was.
Huey Lewis in the news. I lived
from
in the Bay Area
this.
For a period of time. I saw them sing the national anthem at a Giants game. There's some cool dudes. I even liked their early albums before Four and all
oh
that,
yeah, that was good stuff.
Good stuff. And we had Taken Care of Business earlier, and the commissioner, Craig Pope, had specifically requested We Are the Champions.
He was feeling like a champion today.
Yes, right.
Coming
He's
on the show. Come on.
Pumped. Newsmakers, like I said, we've displaced Kevin Jackson for an hour here. He's still on the station 1 to 3 every weekday. Newsmakers, Brent and Dave will be here noon to 1 on the weekdays to handle the local talk and topics.
If you miss an episode, if you miss a show, you can go back and listen to any one of them. They're on the podcast now on our new website at 1430kykn.com.
We have a website.
Yes, we do.
What's
brand
that
new.
What's that address?
1430kykn.com.
All right. How do people reach us? Facebook?
Facebook, or they can email me off the website as well.
Oh, very nice. Yeah. Very nice. So if you missed a show and you want to hear, like our show from the mayor, we had the mayor on,
yes,
or the police
chief,
or
there.
Any of these, you can't get enough of Craig Pope, and you want to hear it over and over and over again, hey, you know, all those kids and grandkids you have can listen
absolutely.
To the show if they didn't listen.
I am going to ask Miss Dina to listen to it at least 4 times.
So
get that podcast count up.
Polk County Commissioner Craig Pope. So I want to hit on your community involvement a little bit. And one thing that's near and dear to my heart as well is workforce development. But I see that, you know, you're a member of the West Salem Business Association.
Yep.
The Chambers of Commerce, not just in Salem, but also in Dallas and Independence, Monmouth.
Monmouth and Independence. Mm-hmm.
And really near and dear to my heart, West Salem Little League.
Yes.
Yeah, I can't stand West Salem Little League. And I'll tell you why. Because my kids were in Sprague Little League, and West Salem always had such a good program.
Oh.
They really did. I mean, they had dedicated parents. They were had strong teams. So we couldn't stand to lose to them, and we really, really wanted to beat them. So it was one of those, I despise those people out of respect. But anybody who's working with kids in that healthful environment where you have parent supervision, you have, you know, physical activity, you have, and honestly, this is going to come into play as we talk further in the month about mental health. You got to win it, learn how to win. You got to learn how to lose.
Yes.
So a lot of people learn that in Little League.
Yes.
My kids were on championship teams, and they were on horrible, crappy teams, horrible teams. And I'm so grateful for that because they, you know, you get up in life, you have to have learned how to win and to lose. And maybe someday you'll lose an election, but I think you'll survive.
Oh, I've lost one.
Have you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I know what it's like to lose.
But he's won the last three.
Just shake yourself off and go work harder.
All right. One of the things I want to touch on in this last segment is workforce development. Enough laborers with enough skills, or changing people's skills so that they can work in today's workforce needs, right?
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about that.
So I am, once again, the Jobs Council Chair for the Mid-Willamette Valley. So Marion, Polk, Yamhill County, and also now includes Linn County.
Wow.
And so that is a function that helps, those four counties are responsible for our Workforce Development Board, Local Workforce Development Board, and for all the federal and state dollars that come into that, and then its distribution to WorkSource centers and to projects helping local businesses with incumbent worker training, on-the-job training, and that sort of thing. So my big focus right now, with the very limited dollars that we have in this robust economy, and I say that because when the economy is really in trouble, we tend to lean in more and put a lot more investment in workforce development, because that's where we need to focus. But the dollars are a little bit less today, but we're trying to lean harder into OJTs, on-job training, and helping the employers train up their workforce from the inside.
Yeah, critical. We hear a lot about this. In Salem, we have the Career Tech School that's doing a lot for preparing people to go to work right away. In the trades, we're hearing stories about people getting out of high school without being able to read a tape measure.
What?
Like, yes. Oh, that's a 1 1/4 inch plus a squiggle. I mean, it's like...
That's how I measure.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, workforce development, making sure people have the job skills and they can enter the workforce.
So I am so proud of our Mid-Valley region and Salem-Kaiser Schools and all of the private sector investment for the CTEC facility and what it does for our local schools. And it's an envy in Polk County, because we'd like to have a satellite of CTEC in Polk County, and maybe one day that will happen. But in the meantime, I also sit on the Regional Solutions Advisory Committee that's appointed by the governor, and very forward-looking all the time to an opportunity to put more investment into our career and technical education programs.
I've got an idea, Commissioner. Let's have you back on, and we'll just talk the whole hour about workforce development.
Okay.
I'm one of those camp that believes in the best social program there is, and is a good-paying job.
Yes.
Where people can support their own families on the wages they earn, and getting people to have the skills that they need to go into a job that... So let's come back and retouch on that, because I know there's some Career Tech in Dallas and Central High Schools as well. So we just, in the minute or so we have left, tell us what you hate about your job. You don't really say it out loud. You can't say it from the point. What do you really hate about
it? Well, I don't know that I hate anything by any means, but I can tell you that the part that does wear on me is the constant travel. There is a lot of traveling. And I know folks get frustrated with, they believe that I'm not in the office, and I understand that. And I'm in my office as much as I can be, but all of the different things that I've put my hand up that, by the way, you all pay me to do, I find it that I need to be in these different functions and different meetings, and that means traveling around. A lot of times it's driving around the state. There is some occasional travel to Washington, D.C., and that travel is tiring, of course. I don't know how congressional delegates do it. I couldn't maintain
that. You know, easier would be flying out of Salem.
Yes, brother,
that
would, it would
be.
Would
be a lot easier.
Absolutely. Thank you for that plug.
All right. And your most rewarding and your best thing about being a county commissioner?
Other than the fact
you love begging for your job every 4 years.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that probably is the part I hate, actually, is that job application every 4 years. But it's part of the system, and I don't complain about it. It's what I signed up for. I think the most rewarding is finding successes, financial successes, and opportunities to keep our programs alive that help everyday citizens.
Thank you, Craig Pope, Polk County Commissioner, for being with us on Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart. We'll see you in it tomorrow. This is 1430 KYKN. Salem's listening.
This has been Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.